So you had a unicycle?
I did not have a unicycle.
Aren't those fixies?
Technically, they are fixies.
Okay.
So is a penny farthing, those big old-time wheels. And that's interesting because to go faster on a penny farthing, you need a bigger wheel, so you're tall, higher up. And as another fun fact, the bikes that we ride today that have the same size front and rear wheel were originally called safety bikes.
Safety bikes.
Because normal bikes were penny farthings where you have a giant front wheel and a really small back one. And so if you fall off one of those, you're falling from like 6 feet. You're done.
Yeah. This is not to be confused with safety dance, you know, men without hats. But anyway, I digress.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Knowledge Podcast by Wahoo. I'm your host, Matt Kasson.
And I am Jeff Hubler. Today we're talking about switching it up, and more specifically, different types of bike riding.
And this is mainly aimed at the roadies out there because they're generally a one-track sort of rider. They don't like to veer too far off.
Unidimensional.
Yes. And so specifically when we talk about doing other types of riding, one of the big reasons is the proper number of bikes to have is one more than you currently have. And so doing different types of bike riding, you need a different bike.
This is absolutely key.
So that's the first big upside to switching it up and doing different disciplines. Next to that, there's just some general benefits to help you improve on your main focus. So if you're a roadie, you can do other types of riding to get better at riding on the road. If you're a mountain biker, you can do other kinds to get better at mountain biking. When we think about switching it up, Jeff, what's the first big benefit you get?
Well, I think the important thing is that you want variability in your training. Like you were mentioning, road cycling, it tends to get very one-dimensional, straight line, very consistent. And having some variety and variability and inconsistency can really spark your nervous system as well as other physiological systems. That's one of the biggest things. And there's a lot of different ways to do that.
So one of it is, you know, having a new challenge just in general can be pretty rewarding. If you've been training for a really long time, you might be going after 1 or 2% improvements over a season. If you try a new discipline and you don't have a great skill set starting out, you're going to see pretty big improvements pretty quickly, which in itself can be really rewarding and refreshing. So I think the easiest way to go about breaking this down is looking at the different types of riding. So we've kind of covered road riding, like what you get out of that. You get, you know, a lot of time in the saddle, a lot of constant power. Not depending on where you live, you might not even get that much handling of if you live, you know, out on the plains and it's just a bunch of straight roads, you're not exactly pushing your bike handling limits. And there's also
unless it's windy. And it does get windy out there.
It does.
But we get it. It's generally pretty consistent, pretty steady state, unless you're effectively following a training plan that has diversity in it.
As a road rider, you know, that's what you get a lot of time. So if you're a mountain biker, then okay, those are some areas where good quality training, good structured intervals are a lot easier to do on a road for the most part. Again, if road riding isn't your main focus, it does have its own benefits for training. Now, on the flip side of that, you've got off-roading, which covers a whole heap of different disciplines from mountain biking, cyclocross, gravel. They all have their own advantages. So when you think about, Jeff, when you think about mountain biking, what are the main differences or what makes that unique from a riding perspective?
Yeah, I think the inherent differences are mostly from terrain, right? Especially if you're riding by yourself. So the terrain is going to be really important. So if you're in a mountainous area that has, you know, long, steady climbs with little technical sections, it's going to be very consistent, more like the road type situation. But the more technical things are going to get, you're going to have cadence changes, high torque efforts, that kind of thing. And the more diverse that terrain is, it's going to tip itself more to those really stoichic changes. High cadence real fast, high torque real fast, switching back and forth, handling your bike, that kind of thing. In and out of the saddle a lot.
Yeah, because the demands, how you ride is going to be, dependent on how technical, you know, wherever you're at. And that's a good thing to keep in mind. You want to have fun and push yourself, but you also want to be cautious and stay within your abilities.
Wouldn't you always do that?
Of course not. That's not how riding bikes is fun. You got to kind of push it.
Push the limits.
But okay. I say that because the first time I went mountain biking, I was already quite fit from road riding and went mountain biking with Neil, who, as some of you might know, is a former Xterra pro triathlete, so pretty good mountain biker. And then the Ekman brothers, who are two guys that Neil used to train, really talented guys, very fit, very good cross racers. And I hadn't ridden a mountain bike before. And so on the uphills, it was fine.
Wait, even as a kid?
Oh, no. I mean, with the exception of riding around the DU campus, like down the stairs and stuff, but no. Yeah, what ended up happening is on the first descent, I think I went over the handlebars about four times and eventually just told them to, you guys keep going and I'll just ride home by myself.
Because you still have all your teeth, though.
I do. I don't know how I didn't break anything on that outing, but it was a good learning moment. But it's something that, again, if you're new to a specific discipline, I wouldn't recommend going out and riding with people who are exceptionally good at that new discipline.
Yeah, yeah, especially competitively. So just taking that theme off-road a little bit further, you know, there's other types of off-road cycling. Short track, which is, you know, a mountain bike, but on a short track. It's pretty quick. It's high intensity. You get a lot of these really high peak powers. Mm-hmm. You got cyclocross, pretty well known. Let's dig into the cyclocross a little bit there, because we're starting to see a lot of really amazing cyclocrossers take over the road scene.
You've got your Tom Pidcocks and your Wout Van Aerts and your Vanderpools, with a big cyclocross background.
And these guys can handle their bike
exceptionally well. Yeah, because with cyclocross, you've got very tight technical courses with massive variations of sometimes it's muddy, sometimes it's dry, sometimes it's snowy. Sometimes they go along a beach, so they're riding through sand. They've got to dismount. They've got to get off their bike, run up stairs, or run over obstacles. It's a constantly changing dynamic sort of effort, and you're pretty much redlined for the whole time, so you're having these technical demands when your heart rate's pretty much maxed out.
Yeah, so going back to the fun thing, you know, it is fun, but that's not really a break in the middle of a road season. But it does still have its merits, for sure. Continuing on that off-road theme, we've got gravel riding, which is very similar to road, but at the same time, it carries with it more of these mountain bike characteristics. You've got to work on your bike handling, tend to have a little bit more variable terrain. Sometimes you might have some creek crossings or short little steep technical climbs that you wouldn't see on a road.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone listening to this knows that gravel racing is like exploding right now. It's become probably one of the more popular things. It's the first event I've done in like 3 years was the Steamboat Gravel. It's a lot of fun. It's in that sense, there's a better community around it than I would say than the road racing scene. And there's a good deal more beer involved, which is
I noticed how you snuck that in there. That's pretty good.
But yeah, it's got the same, like Jeff was saying, similar attributes to road riding, and you can have long, steady slogs, but you do get the variation and the joy of having different terrain. It's also pretty nice rolling around at super low PSI, and just it's a really smooth ride. Even though you're on gravel, it's significantly smoother than being on the road on a road bike.
And then, you know, another off-road is BMX. We don't see this a lot unless it's, you know, really popular in the area where you live or you grew up with it. But man, this is, talk about some high peak cadence and high peak powers and stimulus that you often don't get on the road.
Mm-hmm. Like jumping over sick berms and pump tracking away. You don't generally get that on the road. So that's kind of covers the majority of the off-road stuff. Now there's way more. There's like downhill, there's enduro racing, there's, you know, a lot of different ways, but the general theme at that point is the same. You get a lot of varied terrain. You have to modulate your effort very specifically to the terrain. So we're going to veer away from that and go towards my preferred cross training, if you will. Actually, to be fair, at the end of my racing career, it was my full focus, but that was riding fixies. So fixed gear bikes from a competitive standpoint.
To the grocery store?
To the grocery store, to school, to work, or when you get to racing the track, doing lots of laps around a short banked circle.
So you had a unicycle?
I did not have a unicycle.
Aren't those fixies?
Technically, they are fixies.
Okay.
So it was a penny farthing, those big old time wheels. And that's interesting because to go faster on a penny farthing, you need a bigger wheel. So you're tall, higher up. And as another fun fact, the bikes that we ride today that have the same size front and rear wheel were originally called safety bikes.
Safety bikes.
Because normal bikes were penny farthings where you have a giant front wheel and a really small back one. And so if you fall off one of those, you're falling from like six feet up.
Yeah. This is not to be confused with safety dance, you know, men without hats. But anyway, I digress. So quick story, the fixie, the unicycle. Any of you that are living in Colorado or in North America, we have this hill climb every year. It's Mount Evans Hill Climb. It's one of the highest paved roads in the United States. I think it is the highest paved road in the United States. It
goes up to 14,000 feet.
14,265 feet, if I'm correct. About two-thirds of the way through that one year, so there's a race up there every year. They do a citizens race early in the morning, and then they do age group and pro and whatnot. So I was doing this race several years ago. And about two-thirds of the way up, I'm, you know, delirious, hypoxic, looking around, and I look to the side, and I see a guy descending on a unicycle. And at that point, I didn't know if I was hallucinating or if it was a real deal, but it was a real deal. So anyway, take us back to the fixie. Sorry.
No, that's actually a great segue into that, because one of the, like on the track, it's banked and stuff, but it's a pretty controlled static environment. But if you are riding a fixie out on the road, you know, the terrain gradients and hills and stuff becomes really significant. And I know when I would ride to campus here in Boulder, there's this hill on Folsom this last little bit. It's not crazy long, but going to campus, I'd ride up that on my fixie and just be grinding away super high torque. And then coming home, the cadence would get kicked up. And with the fixie, if your wheel is moving, your pedals are moving and they are proportional to one another. So the faster you get going, the faster you have to pedal. I'd end up having basically forced cadence builds where I'd just be trying to keep up with the pedals, which again is a type of stimulus like you can't get in any other format. So like that guy on the unicycle, he was definitely getting some unique training benefit
and
by
some eccentric load.
Yeah, by slowing himself down.
And that hill's, it's 28 miles.
Yeah. So up and down, yeah, you're talking about a 50 plus mile day with thousands and thousands of feet of climbing.
Let's as we keep going on this fixie thing, let's start thinking about the transference or of these stimulus are transferring to other types of cycling. And kind of using that road as a baseline. With the road cycling, we tend to be able to shift gears, right, to adapt to the terrain. It tends to be more consistent, so we don't get these extreme peaks of power, torque, or cadence. And then if we go back to, like, for instance, your favorite, the fixie, what, you know, we talked about these extreme high cadence, extreme high torque. You know, what else do we get out of that? And then how do we transfer? How does that transfer to road riding?
Yeah. So, I mean, those benefits are really, when they come down to it, like a neuromuscular adaptation. Downhill fixie riding is basically the only time you can get an eccentric load when riding a bike, which means you're resisting the pedal coming up. That's not something you get anywhere else. And that in itself has its own set of muscular benefits. It's really that eccentric load. If you're doing a squat, the down phase as you're going down, that's an eccentric load. That's where the majority of the benefit comes from. It's also where the majority of the soreness will end up coming from. But yeah, you get this, you know, extreme variation. It teaches you to be much more adaptable in situations. I remember a road race, my front derailleur cable snapped, and it was the Steamboat road race, so big old rollers. So I basically had to alternate between either riding at like 40 RPM or like 120, because you're either going really slow or really fast. That those last three climbs were miserable. It was my rear. What was it? It was my rear that snapped.
Something broke.
No, I just had my small chain ring or big chain ring.
Right.
And the 11 and in the back. 11. Yep. Ooh, so I was either, yeah, small. Yeah, that was a day.
It's a good thing you were doing that fixie training on Folsom.
Yep. I would have definitely not been able to finish if I wasn't at least slightly used to going at a stupid low cadence up a hill.
But even
the other big benefit I've found with the fixie riding is you need a different level of situational awareness in terms of coming up to a corner or if you're going through traffic. Now, I'm someone who would always, I'd always have a front brake on my fixie. I'm not one of the people who would go with no brakes, which you can theoretically do. It's not legal in most places, but you can put back pressure and slow yourself down that way. Would not recommend it. But because you're constantly pedaling, you know, you have to learn to, if you're taking a turn, to be pedaling through the whole turn, which is very unnatural. Or if you're coming up to traffic or something, you know, you need to be aware of, like, you can't just stop pedaling at any point unless you just throw your feet off to the sides, which has, like, on certain
the bail move,
and then you just have to wait to to get back on, which can be challenging. But yeah, and that's especially true in the track, since it's such a small closed environment, you basically have your head on a swivel the whole time. So that like type of riding forces you into habits that are beneficial for on the road situational awareness.
Being fully engaged.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And same thing, you know, that level of concentration is the same with the off-road stuff, mountain biking. If you're going down a technical descent or through a more technical climb, you have to pick your line, and that stuff that you aren't actively engaged as much when you're on the road, you can kind of just shut your brain off and turn the pedals, which isn't necessarily the best thing for you.
And all of these things are important in every type of riding that you're going to do, but they're inherently more demanding in a lot of these technical situations, mm-hmm. like fixie, you know, mountain bike, that kind of thing.
Good training is giving you novel stimulus, something your body is not used to, so it can adapt to it. When you can throw a completely separate discipline at your body, you're forcing it into a novel situation that will benefit you. Again, as long as you don't break your collarbone because you're trying downhill mountain biking for the first time and get a little overzealous, you know, just having a different stimulus helps. And really circling back, I think the biggest thing is always going to be, it can be really fun,
yeah.
You know, having a different, completely different event to ride or a different terrain to go with, a different bike to be on. Everyone loves a new bike day, but just having something different can be just really enjoyable. It's easy if you're like stuck in a training plan to just kind of get into like robot mode and just kind of go through it and forget how much you like riding a bike.
So let's talk about when you might want to switch things up. In the off season, it seems like, yeah, no big deal. Let's do something different. Get on the fixie, get on the mountain bike. But in season, how much would you want to switch it up?
How much you want to switch it up kind of depends on what your schedule looks like. You know, a lot of times you can make a fun weekend trip or something out of mountain biking, or I wouldn't say there's an upper limit to how much you want to switch it up, because if you ride your mountain bike enough, then you're just a mountain biker, you're not a road biker, so at that point you're not really switching it up.
So could you potentially then have 7 different bikes and 7 different disciplines and you do one each day?
You could. It depends on where you live. You need to be somewhere where, you know, you can get to a pump track and then also get to some good single track.
Maybe that's a little bit extreme, but the idea is keep some variety in there.
Yeah. So yeah, and off season again, as much as you want to keep it fresh. And in the off season, we tend to recommend actually going more to stuff that doesn't involve the bike, like hiking or running or stuff like that. That's kind of a topic for a whole other episode of that cross training stuff. But, you know, off season, there's no reason not to just do a different discipline on the bike. But in off season, you also just want to take some time away from the bike. But in season, there really isn't a problem with hitting up all the different disciplines when you need a little refresher.
One of the biggest things, you know, if we're using road biking or road riding as a base, and we're talking about different types of cycling for the switch up, one of the biggest things that you can adapt to with these things is the neuromuscular stimulus. And then mountain biking is going to be more variable, which is going to tend to be more of a neuromuscular stimulus.
The benefits there are going to be, it's something new and novel, so you're going to get stimulus both physiological from the different types of efforts you have to do and neuromuscular from the different types of efforts and the coordination you require. You're going to improve your handling, and most importantly, it's just fun. It's a good way to reinvigorate how much you like riding bikes.
Variety is a good thing. Right on. Well, that is another episode of the Knowledge Podcast. Hope you're able to take away some useful information on how to switch it up. And if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. I say we can go where we want to, a place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one for